Church, glad you're all here this morning. Will you please stand and we kick it off with a little bit of worship this morning.
Alone,
with me this morning. You know, I was walking around the church a lot today, talking to a lot of people. And I tell you what, every person I talked to today said, I got this going on. Will you pray for me today? Every single person I talked to today said, will you pray for me today? I want you guys to know that Christ is on the throne. You stand there with him. Put your trust in Jesus, and you're going to get through this time. Amen. We all bow your heads. Dear Lord God, Lord, I ask a blessing upon this service and upon the worship and your word this morning, God. And God, I also ask a blessing upon all the people that I talked to this morning that are going through stuff. God, I pray that you speak mightily through them, through the worship, and through your word this morning, God, that you bless them mightily, and God, you give them direction. And I thank you for it all, in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
You don't need to sit down. It's going to be very brief. Don't forget, if you want to sign up for the T-shirt for our annual ride, you don't have to go on the ride to buy a T-shirt. It'll help sponsor our trip, though. The shirts, what they look like in the sign-up sheet, is above the water cooler. So you just have a couple weeks left on that. And don't forget, if you're going on the mission trip this week, we have a mission trip this week. If you're going on that there is a meeting directly following the service, okay? So we need to meet as quickly as we can. Some of us are leaving today, so we need to meet as quickly as we can for that. And you'll be here in the front of the sanctuary. And the other announcement is, read your bulletin.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Yes.
What are we going to do in the middle of the storm? We're going to sing.
hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. I run to the Father, fall into grace. Done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again. Your son for redemption, the price for my love. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father.
Cast off all those chains because of his amazing grace. All those burdens, all those chains, they're gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. Yeah.
Thank you that your mercy forever reigns. We thank you for the love that you display to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, but the love that you display every day in forgiving us of our sins. So, Lord, we as your people, we as your church, we come and ask you to forgive us of our sin, that you would cleanse us, Lord. And, Lord, that this worship would be sent up to you from a heart of purity, a heart out of love for you. Lord, we pray that this worship is honored and glorified you. So, Father, at this time, we ask that your presence would just fall upon this place. Lord, that your spirit will begin to move in our hearts even now, that as we are anticipating the hearing of your word, Lord, that it will be, that it will have an impact in our lives. So, Lord, we lift this service to you for your glory, for your honor. And part of this worship, Lord, is that we want to give back a portion of which you have given to us. Lord, we want to participate in the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Lord, it's a part of worship. So, Lord, we want to give back to you as you have given to us. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the gift and the giver in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. remove my coat rack. I improvised. I just threw it on the floor. Typical. Yeah, that's right. Is it not amazing how God works? I mean, truly. We were quite a bit shy last week on our mission offering, but miraculously, it came through. Isn't that awesome? That's how God works in the life of a church. So we just need to give God a praise for that. So if you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Last week I introduced to you our new series on Joshua, and last week's message was entitled A New Beginning, and it showed us that change happens, right? Change happens. You can't stop it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are doing or not doing, what you have done or you haven't done. Change is happening, and Joshua is a book of change. It is a book of transition. So Joshua now has led the children of God, the Israelites, into the promised land, and the land was promised 500 or so years earlier to Abraham, and it's coming to fruition now. And after their escape from captivity in Egypt for 400 years, and then the crossing of the Red Sea, and then after wandering in the desert for 40 years, now the time has come. It is time to enter into that land flowing with milk and honey that God promised to his people. And last week, we learned that in order for something new to start, more than likely something old has to go. Thank you, Hunter. Something old has to go. Something has to die, per se. So let's read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Right? At this point, we're going to see Moses is dead, right? Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. That means he had none. No. Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. So that's where we left off last week. Moses is dead. Joshua is now appointed as the leader to lead God's people. And God says now, Joshua, arise, cross over the Jordan. God is saying, it's time to move, Joshua. It's time to arise. Let's go. Things are going to change. That's what he's trying to tell Joshua. Things are going to change for you and my people, Joshua. Therefore, you need to make a transition to your new life that I'm preparing for you. Now, let me just say this right here. I have discovered in my Christian life that God is good down to the smallest, tiniest details of life. He is good. And that is, if God is, listen, and that, I mean, what do I mean by that? I mean this, if God is moving you, or if God is bringing a change in your life, he will also provide the means for you to do it. He will help you. And so listen to what God says right here. He says, point one, here's point one. I want to give, here's what I want to give you, Joshua. Joshua, I want to give you some of this. I want to give you some clarity. I want to give you some clarity about this. We all need clarity in our changes, amen? We all want it, right? I don't know if we sometimes don't get it, maybe. But we're always seeking clarity. And God's saying, look, Joshua, I'm going to give you clarity about this. Now watch, because he's telling Joshua, arise, let's go. And let go. Arise, let's go. And let go of whatever it is that you're holding on to in the past. Remember, something has to die. He's saying, look, arise, let's go. You've got to let go of whatever it is in the past that you're holding on to. And God is now going to come with some clarity for Joshua in his new direction that God is leading him into. God said, Joshua, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is that you're going to do. Look at verse 3. Let's pick up verse 3 there. He's going to lay it out for him right there. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea. Do you see the river from the sea right there? From the river to the sea. The land of Hittites of the great sea, that toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now, just as a side note, do you know that Israel currently, right now today, Israel currently is not occupying all the land that God gave them? And they're fighting for it, right? Right now, as we speak, it's on the line, right? They are just sitting. Listen, Israel is just sitting on a part of what God had promised them. However, God gave them all of this that I just read, all of this, so there is obviously a lot more to come. It's not over. It's not over for Israel by a long shot. Listen, there's a lot more to come. So God comes with clarity to his people, and he says, here's the boundaries, Joshua. I'm going to give you the dimensions. I'm going to give you the boundaries of this change I'm talking to you about. I'm going to give you clarity. I'm calling you to get up, make the transition for where you're at to where you're going, where I'm sending you. Make the transition. And when you do that, I'm going to give you some clarity about what I want you to do. Listen to me, folks. This is important. This is very important in the change of your life. You trust God first. Then he will move you and use you for his purpose. Let me say that again. In the change of whatever's going on in your life, whatever is happening, first and foremost, you need to trust God first. Then he will move you and use you for his purpose. Because when you begin to move in obedience to God's instruction, when you trust him, right? You have to trust him before you'll move with him. That's just the point. You have to trust him. When you trust him, he will clarify what he wants you to do. Now, I want to emphasize something here. He generally doesn't give you a long-range plan. I'm not saying he doesn't ever do it. I'm just saying generally he doesn't give you a long-range plan. What's that mean? That means you're not going to need a set of binoculars to look off into the far distance to see God's plan. But he will clarify usually to you step by step as you go. Do you wonder why my personal opinion is that, why he does it that way? Because he's building our faith every step of the way. And God comes and he says, Joshua. He comes and says, Mike. He comes and says, Kevin. He comes and says, Matt. He comes and says, whoever, put your name in there. Kenny, whoever. Gidget. Donna. What's your name? Kathy, Pam, whoever. He comes and he says, look, you move forward and I'll make it clear to you where to move next. So there was clarity there. God is giving them direction. He's giving them clarity. And he will to you also if you stay close to him and trust him. That's easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? Because we want the long range of binoculars. We don't want him just to direct this step and then direct this step. We want to see the end picture before we want to take that step. But he says, look, trust me. He says, what does he tell us in his words? You trust me with the little things, I will give you the greater things. So there's a direction here, right? There's a clarity here. But secondly, there was a certainty. Point number two, there was a certainty. Now watch this. Notice the certainty in verse 5. Look what he says. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you. Now, let me tell you what that means. It means men obviously will stand before you. Men will oppose you. Anybody being opposed by anybody in your life right now? Is somebody opposing you? That's what he's telling him. He says, men, it's going to come against you. They're going to come against you. People will oppose you. Let me ask you this question as well. Did anybody ever oppose Jesus Christ? And he was doing the full will of God. Last week I told you transition always involves spiritual battle. Remember that? You need to write that down. Transition always involves spiritual battle. So understand, whenever God begins to do a transitional, transforming work in your life, you can be sure you're going to face spiritual battles. It's not if, it's when. Because what is the whole rest of the book of Joshua going to be? The whole rest of the book of Joshua is about spiritual battle in the land. Is that still going on today? The whole book is going to be about spiritual battle. Now listen, put that in your own life. Anybody there right now? You're in a spiritual battle in your life. You have a spiritual battle that's going on right now in your life. Maybe you have a spiritual battle from within yourself. What do I mean? Maybe you have an addiction problem. Maybe you have a pornography problem. Maybe you have whatever problem, you know, whatever it is. Maybe you have a spiritual battle from within, and God's wanting to move you from that. Maybe you have a spiritual battle at work. I don't know. Do you have a spiritual battle with your children? Do you have a spiritual battle with your finances? Do you have a spiritual battle with your marriage? God is changing. Things are moving. Things are transitioning. I think all of us experiences one of these things one time or another. I'm sure we do. We all have battles in that even of spiritual nature. But there's a word here coming for you that you need to hang on to. You're not alone. You're not alone. Look what it says, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And now this is the certainty here. Just know this. In the midst of spiritual battle, look what it says. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, I think God is telling Joshua and us even here today, but I think God is telling Joshua, look back, Joshua. Look back. Look back at how I was with Moses. Now, let me tell you something here, because if you don't look, you're going to miss this, right? You're not going to see it. The Bible says that Moses was what? Look back to verse 1 and verse 2. Moses was a servant of the Lord. God says, he's my servant. And so Joshua was what? Joshua was the servant of Moses. So Moses was a servant of God, and Joshua was a servant of Moses. Now, do you remember when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God? He went up on the mountain, and no one else was permitted to go up there, but Joshua was permitted to go partway. He was permitted to go partway up the mountain. And do you remember when God called Moses to the tent of meetings where Moses met with God? And no one else could stay. Everybody had to leave. All of Israel stood outside their tents. But Joshua was permitted to go down there with Moses. So God's telling them, God's saying, hey, Joshua, better than anybody, Joshua, you understand this. And you understand this in a way that nobody else understands this, because you were there with Moses 24/7. You were right behind Moses all the time. And you saw up close and personally how I was with Moses. So Joshua, he comes and he's saying, Joshua, make this a mental note. Take note of this. Take heed of this. As you go through different things in your life, that just as I was with Moses, I am with you. And I just want to say here, oftentimes we sing that song, Evidence. You remember the song, Evidence of Your Goodness? It's all over my life. That every time we sing those particular lyrics, here they are, all throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see the promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. It's what Moses is telling Joshua. Or that's what God's telling Joshua. Help me remember when I'm weak, for fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I just get that. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. You know what? Every time we sing these particular verses, I'm reminded of my own life. I'm reminded of my own life, and when we sing those words, my soul hears the voice of God saying, Larry, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Larry, as I was with Joshua, I will be with you. Larry, just look back, Larry. Larry, look back at your life through all the stuff, all the good and the bad, the ugly, the joy, all the different transitions that life has brought you. And most of you know my story, and if you don't, come and see me. I'll explain to you if you want to know it. But listen, I hear God in my soul. I hear God in my soul when we sing that song saying, Larry, throughout all of your life, I've been there. I may not have seen it then, but I do see it now. But he's telling me, I've been there, Larry. When you were a child and had no family, I was there. I was your family. I cared when you thought no one else did. When you were a teenager and had no real home, God said, I was there. I took care of you. I not only gave you a home, but I gave you a family as well, which is a great family, by the way. When you were a young adult and wandering off into things that you knew you shouldn't be doing, I know you all don't do things like that. But when I was a young teenager wandering off in all the things I shouldn't be doing, he's saying, look, Larry, I was there. You didn't know it, but I was there the whole entire time. I was there calling you even then. I was there calling you and drawing you to myself. Just look back, Larry. Just look back, look back. I was always there. There was evidence of my goodness all over your life. And you can be certain that I will continue to be. That's what God tells me. You can be certain because I was there before you ever even knew me, taking care of you. Now that you're mine, now that you're one of my children, you be certain I will continue to be there. I was there before you even knew me. Larry, look back. And you know what? And I have looked back. And trust me when I tell you, he was always there for me. Always. And you know what I would not change for one thing in the world? I would never change all the bad and the ugly for anything in the world that took place in my life. I have far greater now. Why? Because I trusted. I trusted God. And I look back and trust me when I tell you, he's always been there for me. Always. God has always provided a way for me when I didn't know the way. That's very important. God provided a way for me even when I didn't know the way. And because I have the knowledge that he was always there, I now have certainty that I can trust him to always be there now and in the future. He's proven it to me. So now to this very day, when I'm uncertain of what life is throwing at me, you know, we all, everything that comes at us, we all expect it, right? No, we don't. When I'm uncertain of what life is throwing at me, and some of you are in some uncertainty right now about many things, like I just said. When changes are happening and I don't know what to do, when things are happening that I don't want to happen, any amens on that one? When things are happening that I don't want to happen, that whatever is happening, that wherever I go, that wherever the soles of my feet tread, I can trust God with complete certainty because I've looked back and God has shown me he is trustworthy. Now watch this, because the next thing God says is this. He says, I'm going to give you what you need to get through. Whatever change is coming in your life. God is saying, I'm going to give you capability as well. I'm going to give you capability to get through it. I'm not just going to pat you on the back and say, go get them. No, that's not what he's saying. He says, I'm going to give you the capability to go. He comes and he says this in verse 6 and 7 and 9. He says it three times. Now, understand this. When God says it once, it's enough. Amen. But when he says it twice, that really should get a hold of your attention. But when God says it three times, that ought to just rivet you to the text. Because if he's saying it three times, it's vitally important. So what is it that he's saying? God says, look at verse 6. He's talking to Joshua. He's saying, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Now, the word strong there means firm. It means resolute. It means firm. You getting what I'm saying there? It means that you're resolute. He says, I want my people to be a people who are resolute. I want my people to be unyielding. I want my people to be unbendable. Now, take that in its context. He wants us to be pliable, that he can mold us and shape us into his image more than we are today. But when it comes to the things of God, to the word of God, I want you to be unyielding and I want you to be unbendable. You are there. You are firm, unyielding, unbendable. Nobody is going to talk me out of what God has called me to do. That's what he's saying right here. He said, Joshua, you are going through this time of transition. Then you be resolute about it. You dig your heels in. This is what I've called you to do, and you do it. God is telling Joshua, I'm making it clear to you. I can't make it any clearer. I've told you three times, right in a row. I'm making it clear to you. I'm giving you the capacity to be resolute. I'm giving you the strength to stand firm. I'm giving you the strength not to back up, to move over. I'm giving you the strength not to retreat. I'm giving you the strength not to run. I'm giving you the strength to get through what you're facing. I'm giving you the strength to stand firm. You want to know why? Because on our own, we don't have it. I'm giving you the capability to be firm in your stance in the transition. No surrender, no retreat. Stand firm. That's a military term, by the way. Stand firm and no surrender, no retreat. Ironically, they're both. Now, I wonder how many of us, now you sit on this for a minute and think about it. I'm going to give you one idea, but there's several ideas I could have gone off of here in. But I wonder how many of us have turned down God's yes. I wonder how many of us have turned down God's yes because we were too busy listening to somebody's no. I've heard of occasions when God would call an entire church to do something, to go in a certain direction, to do something great for him. And all it took was one guy to stand up and say, I don't think we can do that. Actually, if I'd have listened to this kind of a theory, we would not be sitting in this sanctuary today. I was told, no, you can't do that. You're not big enough. No, you don't have the people. No, you can't do it. No, 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 no. Why? Listen, I make fun, but I need to be very cautious here. I don't mean to make fun, but what I'm saying is not no, 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 no. My God is greater. Right? My God is greater. But I've heard that where a church will come up something, and one person will say no, and the rest of the people will give up. Listen, because one person, or in our case right here in our text today, 10 spies in our text today, right, they all said no. Remember last week when the 12 spies went into assess the situation in the promised land before God told Joshua, arise, let's go? And 10 of the spies came back and said, the cities are fortified, the people are giants, they are strong, and we are afraid. Remember I brought Steve into that scenario right there? You know, because he's big and strong and like a giant. But he did. 10 spies came back and says, this is fortified. The people are giants. They are strong and we're afraid. And they wept all night and said, we should have stayed as slaves in Egypt. All of this, delivered out of 400 years of slavery, crossed the Red Sea on dry land. God provided for them in the wilderness for 40 years. And it comes down to this. I want you to go into the land I promised you. And here they are. They're afraid. They're weak. And they come and say, we should have stayed as slaves in Egypt. We should have stayed in the desert. They wanted to go back to their old way of life. They were still in bondage. They were still in bondage. They wanted to go back to their way of life where they were in bondage. They, like many today, wanted to hold on to a way of life that was gone. Many today want to hold on to a way of life that is gone. But 10 out of 12 stood up and said, I don't trust God. 10 out of 12 said, I don't trust God. We need to go back into bondage. We need to go back into slavery. In fact, let's go back there, Numbers 14, beginning in verse 6. Numbers 14, chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. Verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. I could just stop and preach right here. A lot of times when change comes in our life and we don't understand it and can't see the end from the beginning, or we don't like the change, what's the first thing we do? We rebel against God. Or we get mad, we leave the church, right? He says, a land which flows with milk and honey, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from there. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Now here's what I want you to see that I did not tell you last week in verse 10. Look at verse 10. And all of the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. So what is God telling and showing Joshua and the people of Israel here? What he's trying to tell them is this. He's saying, look, be strong and courageous, Joshua. I've got you. I'm with you. Now, and that promise holds to this very day, and I'm going to show it to you. That promise holds to this very day. And watch. Now, courageous means bold. It means daring. It means to be brave, right? God is saying, in times of change, in times when you don't know what's going on, I will give you clarity. I will give you certainty. And he says, I will give you the capability, so trust in me. God says, I'll call you to do what you would never do on your own. I'm going to call you to do what you would never do on your own. Trust me. But you have to trust me and not yourself. You know why we turn down so many things in our life? Do you know why we refuse often to move and to change? You know why we often don't surrender to different ministries throughout the church? Because we're not relying on God, we're relying on ourselves. So let me ask, do you need the kind of help that God is offering Joshua? Do you need that kind of help right now? Are you afraid of the changes taking place in your life? Well, listen, you're not alone. That's Joshua's problem as well. But why was he so afraid? Why was he so afraid? He's seen all these great miracles that he traveled around with Moses. Why was he so afraid? Because even Moses, back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, twice Moses tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Twice. And God tells him three times, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. I commanded you, be strong and courageous. And someone in here needs to hear that right now. The Lord has got a word for you. Be strong and courageous. Seek me. Trust me. Be strong. Be courageous. And now you come to the last verse of the first chapter of Joshua, and all the heads of the tribes come together, and they look at Joshua and they say, right, they're now all gathered together, and they all come up on Joshua, and they all say, only be strong and courageous. Why? Because obviously he was feeling weak and not courageous. I've told you all before, I understand this all too well. I've never felt adequate to do this job or this calling. I've never felt adequate from day one. Yes, God called me to it, but this is an intimidating position. You're all looking at me. But I'm handling the Word of God. And I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord. This is intimidating to me. And I would have to guess that if I called any one of you into my office and sat you down and asked you, do you feel adequate to do what God has called you to do? I think if I called you in and asked you that question, you would all say, mm-mm. In fact, most people never truly surrender to God's calling and leading to what He has for you because we rely on our own capabilities and not God's. That's a hard truth. I don't feel adequate. But let me let you in on something. It's great news. God never calls the adequate. He makes the called adequate. Or you've heard it said like this from me before. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. We have to remember that. If God's calling you, He's going to give you the capability to do what He's called you to do. He will give you the capability to do what He's called you to do if you trust in Him. There's where the rubber meets the road. I trust in Him every single week. If I'm not the one, rise up the one to speak for you today. But you got to trust in Him and not in yourself. But when you trust in Him, He will give you the capability to do what He's called you to do. And if that means facing a big change, if that means facing a big change, maybe it's a devastating change. Maybe it's a spectacular change. Maybe a call to a ministry or something. But listen, He will give you the capability to do it. Trust Him. Listen, the truth is change is hard. Not knowing what to do next is hard. Joshua is responsible for the entire nation of Israel. He's leading them into a place they've never been. I get it. I understand him. Listen, we have new Christians among us, and as a new Christian, it's hard to know what God expects of us next. Am I right, older Christians? It's hard to even know what God expects of me next. In verse 7, God tells Joshua, be strong and very courageous so that you can observe the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Look what he says. These are the verses I wrote in Lucas's. I signed his Bible. These are the verses I wrote in there. What he says, be strong, courageous. Look, be strong, courageous. He says, do not turn from it. I'm talking about the word to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He's saying in your change, in your transitions of life, stay in the word and in the instruction of God. In verse 8, he goes on and tells Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written into it. For then you observe, you stay in God's will in the midst of the change, in the midst of all the uncertainty that you don't understand what's happening, in the midst of all this, look, he says, observe the word, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. I don't know what else to write in Lucas's Bible, but this. Stay in the Word, son. Follow the Lord. He's going to prosper you and bring you through whatever you face next. So what is God's advice here? God is saying, listen. He's talking to you and I. He's talking to you and I here today. He's saying, spend time in the Word. Meditate on it day and night. Does that mean I read the Bible 24/7? No, that's not what it means. It means I read the Bible, then throughout the day, I can meditate on that which I've read. And trust me, when something's going to come in your life, God's going to bring that back to your remembrance. That's the best way to know and to understand God's plan, is to read His Word and know His Word and look, and then you will have good success. So how do I transition my life to do all these things that God has called me to do? How do I move past the past of my life? How do I take change and have a new beginning in my life? Well, I can do it because He tells us what Moses said to Joshua back in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. Let's start with verse 7. And this is where Moses is saying, I'm 120 years old. And then he appoints Joshua as a leader, the one who would lead the people into the promised land. And look what he said. He said this. He said, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, in front of all the people, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Now bounce over to the New Testament, right? I'm reading all this out of the Old Testament, but go to the New Testament, to the church age that we live in right now, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says this, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, what does it say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So let me ask, in your changing life, how does that make you feel? Do you believe that? Do you trust in that? In your changing life, are you trusting and believing that? How does that make you feel? He will not never, I know it's a double negative, don't throw anything at me. He will never leave you, forsake you, not ever, ever. Who in here is a born-again Bud Block Christian? He's never going to leave you or forsake you. That's His promise. So watch. So how can I do the things that God is calling me to do? How can I navigate through change in my life, whether it's good change or bad change? I can do it because every step of the way, God will never leave me or forsake me. God is saying to His servant, you are Bud Block, born-again people, children of God. You are His servant. God is saying to His servant, you will never be alone. So if I truly believe that, what is it that I cannot face? He is with me always. And if God is for me, what man can stand against? I can stand against anything the world throws at me if I have that kind of faith and that kind of trust. I will be courageous. I'm not talking about arrogance. I will be courageous. Wherever you're at, child of God, remember that. You don't get anything else out of this word today, you remember this. He's already said that to Joshua back in verse 3. He's already said that every step, every place your foot shall fall, I'm giving it to you. He's saying that every step along the way, Joshua, I'm with you. He's telling you today, every step along the way you're at, I'm with you. He's saying, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. And then that's how you can do it. That's how you do it. Because that promise is for you as well as a follower and servant of Jesus Christ. And that's how you get up. That's how you get up every morning. That's how you get up and face the things of this world every morning. I am not alone. God is with me. God is in me. And I trust what His Word says. I read it and I study it and I know it. And I'm putting my faith and I'm putting my trust in that. And listen, that's how you get up. Some of you are going to understand this. You've had such drastic changes in your life that you have to trust God every single step. Because you don't want to get up. but you do it by faith. That's also how you get up from where you are at this moment and you walk down this aisle and how you start a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a transition. God is calling you to give up your old life and start a new beginning. And you think, I'm terrified of people. You are you? Yes, yeah, so am I. I took an F in senior English because I would not stand up and give my whatever that big thing was. I wouldn't stand in front of the class and speak. Took an F in English. Proud of me now? I was afraid. I'm terrified of people. I'm scared to death. I don't know what to do. Maybe you're feeling that same way too. Well, first, let me tell you this. It starts by this. Let go. Let go. Let go of whatever you're holding on to. My case, the day I came and walked up where the foyer is now, to where the altar was up in this end of the foyer, I had to let go of the back of the pew. I was holding on. I didn't want to. I was holding on to the back of that pew for a little. Listen, I had to let go. What I had to let go? I had to let go of the old way and look at a new way. Let go of whatever you're holding to. Let go of it. Let go of it. Get up and walk down the aisle and trust him. And listen to me. I promise you, you take the first step, he will be with you every other step along the way. That's why the writer of Hebrews in verse 6, now under inspiration, picks up the verse out of Psalm 118. He says this. He says that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Underline that, circle that, highlight that. We can boldly say, the Lord is our helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. So let me ask, is there change occurring in your life? Do you need a helper? I got great news for you. The Lord is offering his help to you. The question is, will you take him up on his offer? You have to trust. You have to trust. Now, others of you are dealing with stuff. Some of it is big, serious stuff. So let me ask you, how are you going to get through it? Well, listen to me. In that stuff, God is wanting to move in your life. He wants to. No matter how big the change may be, how serious the change may be, God is wanting to move in your life. He has a purpose for you. He has put his finger on something in your life. And he says, you need to let go of it and say goodbye to it. He says, I've got something for you to do. I've got a new beginning for you. I have a redo. Now, many of us need that right now, a redo. Now he says that to us as a church. But let me tell you, he's saying that to you personally, individually. Let go of it. And I will give you clarity. I will give you certainty. I will give you capability to not just get through. That's not what he says. That's not what his word says. He says, I'll give you certainty. I'll give you clarity. I'll give you certainty. I'll give you capability. Not just to get through it, but to prosper. Isn't that what his word said earlier? But to prosper. I'll give you this. I'll give you prosperity. I'll give you victory, what he's saying. God tells us, you follow my word and be obedient to my word, and I promise you this. I will be with you every step of the way so that you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Now, some of you this morning need to do just that. You need to let go of whatever is keeping you from Jesus Christ and him moving in you and through you. You need to surrender. maybe to a calling, to a purpose. So you need to turn to Jesus. You need to turn to Jesus. You need to turn loose of whatever it is that you are holding on to and turn your face towards Jesus Christ and say, Lord, Lord God, give me the faith to trust in you. I've prayed that many times in my life. Lord, give me the faith to trust in you without any doubt. I need your courage and your strength. I need your help. And others of you, God has been speaking to you to come to him. So let go and come to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come and receive your salvation, your free gift of salvation this morning. I want that offer. I give my life to you. I need a new beginning. I need a redo. I need a start over. If that's you, I'm inviting you to come. And some of you need to let go of where you've been. You want me to preach now? You need to let go of where you've been. But Pastor, I've done things. I don't care, so have I. Things that I'm not proud of at all. Despicable things, gross things. You need to let go of where you've been and what you've been doing and say, I want what you have next for me, Lord. So Lord, I'm here to commit to you. So I'm going to put my life in your hands and trust you in my situation. Why? Because I want victory. Or maybe the Lord has been telling you that you need to put your life into the fellowship of this church. Listen, you need to come. God put the church here for a purpose, and you're part of that purpose. And you need to come and put your fellowship in this church, your membership in this church. Listen, you come. God is talking to one of you, some of you, or all of you right now. And he's telling you what you need to let go of. And if he's telling you to let go of this, then he's telling you to turn to him. Will you do it? Will you trust him? Arise. Let's go. Lord Jesus, in these moments, as you have spoken to us through your word so clearly, Lord, may we release whatever it is that we are holding on to. Lord, that you give us a new beginning, that you give us a fresh start, a redo. May we go through the transition of being transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ with clarity, with certainty, with capability. With your help, we call up on your name to help us. We pray in your name. Amen. Right now, you come as music begins, whatever's in your life, bring it to the Lord. You need to arise, so let it go. You've already risen, now let it go. So that you can go forward. So that you can go forward in what the Lord has next for you. Amen.
All throughout my history, faithfulness has walked beside me. When storms made way for spring, and every season from where I'm standing, I see the evidence. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see
for a while, but if you need to talk, please do that. A couple things. One is you need to pray for the Shugart family as they have removed Tim's mom, Darlene, from the nursing home and brought her home and has called in hospice. So just keep them in your prayers if you would do that, please. Also, pray for us as we are going to be leaving here, some of us here today. Some of us will be joining midweek, but we are going on a mission trip and we are going to be doing two roofs on two different locations. And we are also going to be going to Pineville, West Virginia, which was our very first mission trip back in 2000 that we went on to. We're going to go look at it as a possible site for our summer mission trip. So there's a lot going on, but we just ask for your prayers for that. And I'm going to ask Pam if she'll pray for us as we leave to go for that. So if you're going on that this week, someone of you, just raise your hand up just so we all know who was going. You see the hands going up over. So, all right, thank you.
Heavenly Father, I ask that you please be with each of these people who are going to be leading today and later on this week to do your missions. Please prepare each one of them to not only do the work that's before them, but to also be prepared answer any questions that people may have for them, for the hope that they have. Amen. Father, please help them each to be willing to do your work, to do it with joy. And I especially ask for safety, not only for the traveling down and back, but also for all those who will be up on roofs, transporting materials, and doing all the other work that's involved. And Father, as the mission team is also going to be there meeting with other mission teams, I pray that there will be a time of fellowship and encouragement, and that everyone there will draw closer to you and become more like your son, Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pam. Listen, as you depart this place, just remember, everywhere your feet are planted, God is with you. And he's for you and not against you. Go in peace. Thank you for coming. God bless.
I see the evidence of your goodness.